For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Like a bird who flew away in autumn to a land of warmer days until the chill of winter has passed, I can see a ray of sunshine that tells me it's about time for the holy God return at last.
He may come with the flowers in the springtime, or when the hand of winter makes the hills a snowy place. It could be any season, but I just can't.
I have been teaching on the subject of the end times, and many Christians are starting to seek information on what is going to happen. Over the years, not too many preachers have been preaching on that subject. They have been avoiding it. The reason they were avoiding it is because they do not want to scare people.
But now people are starting to ask questions, and many pastors and teachers, because of their neglect of the subject, don't know the answers. And we, the ministers of God, need to know the answers to those last days. Of course, we will not understand everything to the fullest extent, but we can know the times and the seasons these things will happen. We can understand by studying Scripture on what they mean. In the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." It tells us those that read these prophecies, they will be blessed. What does this mean? It simply means that people who will study end time prophecies will start to understand what they mean. They will be blessed with understanding and will be able to communicate the word of God on the end times to the people. Alas, far too many preachers have neglected to study the end times and did not take by faith what this verse means in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. We need to study it. We need to seek it out so that when the time comes, we will understand the meaning of what comes to pass. And today I will teach on those subjects. What will happen to the Antichrist? When will he appear? Will the church go through the tribulation? But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of the listeners so that they will understand and not be anxious. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. I ask you, Lord, to bless the listeners in Jesus' name. Amen. When one studies scriptures, especially in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, there is a lot of information on what will take place in the latter days. It seems like the Thessalonians would be asking the Apostle Paul many questions on the end times, and the Apostle Paul wrote them some interesting letters. He tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." When we study these scriptures, the Apostle Paul is making something very clear. He is telling us that the mystery of iniquity is already at work. The iniquity that is on this planet is already at work and has been at work since the beginning of time. But the Mr. 666, the one that is going to rule in the last days, has yet to appear on the scene. And he tells them that the one that is holding him back from appearing has to be taken out of the way first. And who is the one that is holding back the Antichrist from appearing? It is the salt of the earth, the preservative, the church of Jesus Christ. In the old days, people would use salt as a preservative. The Bible teaches us that the church is the salt of the earth. So that means the church preserves the world from deteriorating. And once the church is taken out of the way, then the one who will speed up the deterioration will appear on the scene, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth. It tells us even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power in signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. But for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That is a very serious statement here. The Lord teaches us here, the Apostle Paul teaches us here, that once the church is removed, then the Antichrist will appear on the scene, and he will be powerful. He will show many signs and wonders and miracles, so that many people will be deceived into thinking that he is the Messiah. He will proclaim himself to be God, and because of people's unrighteous hearts, because they do not want to know the truth of unrighteousness, will be deceived. The Bible teaches us the reason they will be deceived is because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. This is what happens to many people today. The reason they are being deceived is because their hearts are seeking after iniquity. I will give you an example. Look at the homosexual community. They seem to believe, they seem to think that their lifestyle is natural. Why is that? It is because in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul teaches us that God had given them over to a reprobate mind, that is an ungodly mind, thus they are being deceived. You never hear of a drunk calling himself a Christian, but you hear it more and more today that homosexuals are calling themselves Christians. That is an oxymoron, because the Word of God teaches us that those who practice such things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So, have you ever heard of a Christian drunk? Have you ever heard of a Christian prostitute? Have you ever heard of a Christian child molesters? Maybe there are a few who practice such things who are Christians, but they will never step out into the open and try to proclaim their rights to the people. Yes, you can see how God gives people over to a deception. It is very, very scary. And that's what will happen during the hour of the tribulation. People will believe that what they're doing and what they're seeing is right. They will follow the Antichrist, hook, line, and sinker. And the Bible teaches those who will take the number 666, their chance for repentance is over and done with. Yes, those who will receive that mark will end up in the lake of fire. But what will happen to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will they go through the tribulation? Will they have to experience the wrath of God that is going to be poured out on this planet? I will give you a few examples from the Old Testament. When Moses came to the Pharaoh in Egypt and asked the Pharaoh to set the Israelites free from their bondage, we can see the plagues, the wrath of God coming upon that land. But in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were, no plagues hit those places. When we study what happened in the days of Noah, before the wrath of God was poured out, God took Noah and his family into the ark. When we study what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, before the wrath of God was poured out on that city, God took Lot and his family out. We can see example after example in Scripture. And this is exactly what will happen in the last days. Before the wrath of God will be poured out on this planet, the people of God who are not appointed unto wrath will be taken from this planet. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." When we study 1 and 2 Thessalonians, it talks about the end time. And over, the Apostle Paul is telling the Thessalonians, comfort one another with these words. We are not appointed unto wrath, but we are appointed unto salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God is trying to convey to us today. His children will not experience the wrath that he will pour out on this planet. Why will we not experience his wrath? Because throughout the Old Testament, there is an example after an example that God does not pour his wrath upon his children. And the reason is this: he has poured his wrath out upon us already. We may ask, when did that happen? It happened 2,000 years ago when our brother, our Savior, Jesus Christ, received all that punishment and all that wrath that was directed towards us upon himself. And from that time on, anybody who turns to Jesus for salvation will escape the wrath of God. But alas, for those who reject him, for those who tread underfoot the blood of the Son of Jesus Christ, will receive without measure the horrifying wrath of God. And we, the children of God and the world, will soon see this coming to pass. God will pour out his wrath upon this planet, that the whole world will know that God is speaking. Yes, the horrors that are described in the prophets and the book of Revelation are beyond imaginations. The Bible teaches us that the tribulation that will come upon this planet in the last 7 years of this dispensation of time has never been experienced upon this planet and will never be experienced afterwards. Yes, this is what's going to come to pass. We, the children of God, because we turn to Jesus Christ for our salvation, will not experience that wrath. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Yes, this is what God promises to them that turn to Jesus for salvation. Where do you stand with this subject? There is no way that you can be nonchalant about it these days. We know that everybody is starting to see the dramatic changes that are occurring upon this world. And you need to lift up your head and start to pay attention. For God is not willing that any should perish, And if you turn to Jesus, you will surely receive the pardon that he extends to everyone who will turn to him by faith. The Lord will open your heart to this awesome truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Every time I do a deed I shouldn't do, every time I say a word I shouldn't say, let me tell you what I do, and it brings a blessing too. I just steal away somewhere and pray.
I just steal away. I just steal away, and I'll ask my blessed Lord to lead the way.
God will hear and answer all my prayers if I thank him for his blessings every day. When I'm burdened down with grief, he will give my heart relief if I steal away somewhere and pray.
I just steal away, I just steal away, and I'll ask my blessed Lord to lead the way. I just steal away, I just steal away, I just steal away somewhere.
When one teaches on the end times, many people become very anxious, and that includes Christians. Many Christians don't have much of a clue on what to expect and on what will happen. The Bible is very clear on this subject, that the Lord will definitely keep us from the horrors of the tribulation. Will we disappear like so many people teach today? When we watch the Left Behind series, they show how people will disappear. Cars will crash, planes will fall from the sky. And years ago, when I would study that would somehow bring a check to my spirit, because many people would get killed in a situation like that. Let me give you an example. Suppose you would be driving along with your wife in a car, or even flying an aeroplane. Then all of a sudden, the rapture would hit. And let's say you are a Christian, but not your wife. Bingo! All of a sudden, the car crashes because you disappear. You're the one that's driving. It crashes, let's say, into a truck. And your wife gets killed and goes straight to hell because she is not a Christian. Would that be the way the Lord would operate? When we study scriptures, this is not how God operates. And I knew that somehow deep in my spirit, I understood that there had to be an explanation. And I will show you what God has shown me over the years. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That, it doesn't say we shall disappear. It tells us we shall be changed. What happens when a person is changed? I will explain to you what happens when a person is changed. When we study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus rose from the dead, he had a changed body. It wasn't the spirit, for he told his disciples, "Touch me. A ghost does not have bones. You cannot feel his flesh." And he asked them for something to eat, and he ate in front of them. He enjoyed food. He could taste it. Yes, the body that Jesus had could walk through walls, but at the same time communicate with those who were in their natural physical bodies. This is the exact same body we will have once we are changed. We will be able to stop our trucks, our cars. We will be able to land our planes, and we will be able to communicate with those who are around us. It tells us that the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That's found in Matthew chapter 27. Study it for yourself. The graves were open. People with changed bodies walked about and talked to people. They were here for how long? I don't know. But I know that Jesus was here for 40 days. If it's going to happen like that, how long will we stay here? I don't know. Jesus was here for 40 days. He then was taken up into heaven. We may have that time to communicate to our loved ones on what to expect in the very near future. For those of you who are listening, this teaching cannot harm you. If it doesn't happen like that, then it'll not happen. But if it does, you have a responsibility. The minute you're changed, you need to do what those people did who came out of the graves. They communicated the Lord Jesus Christ to the people of Jerusalem, and 3,000 got saved in one day on the day of Pentecost. And this is exactly what will happen during the hour of the tribulation. The Bible teaches us that many, many, in spite of the horrifying persecution, will turn to Jesus for salvation. I pray that this teaching will bring joy to your spirit and to your heart so that you can start walking in the commandment that the Lord has given to us. He tells us that he will do a quick work on this earth to bring in the harvest. And I am highly suspicious this is how it's going to take place. The Lord will open your heart to this awesome truth and make you a blessing to many. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.